Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here again with the Faith and Freedom Show, where I normally talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. What's with them and the disqualifier? What's with the caveat? Okay, they don't necessarily agree with the views of this broadcaster. It's okay. Someday they'll come and see the light and agree with me. I'm talking about something that is important in your area. And again, I've got another clip here that I'm going to play for you because it was very interesting, but I'm going to take a call real quick because I've got some time on the show. I can keep coming with these clips. Caller, thank you for calling Frank Talk 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Hey, David, curious about the insurance on this, car. Where do we, with that? I mean, generally, typical insurance, you carry your usual insurance, PIP, and I forgot the other one all of a sudden, but then you got in collision and all this other stuff.
Well, that's a good question. This next clip, I was going to be talking to them about some of these legalities, because that was something that came to my head, is when they're going to have some kind of ordinance where you say you can only, no taking off from a sidewalk or something. You know, I mean, you must, I don't know, what kind of weird laws are they going to come up with?
Yeah, and is there a special insurance that you have to get through your insurance agency for this, like when you're in the air?
Well, I don't know the details about that. I would say, as it's driving around the streets, and you'll find out again in this clip, and in fact, tell you what, let me play this clip and then call me back.
Okay,
here we go. We're going to go with this clip so we can find out more. Well, Steve Saint, now whose idea, I guess it's your idea. Whose idea was it to do this? I mean, obviously, the old necessity is a mother of invention.
Yeah.
You know, was it you or partners with you? Who came up with these ideas?
Well, I guess the idea, it might sound terribly creative if somebody had only lived up here, but the idea was mine, but the original idea for iTech was the Waudani's idea. They, when my aunt died at the end of her life, yeah, that's a little bit redundant, obvious. When my aunt died in 1994, I went down to help my jungle family bury her out there where she had lived with them the rest of her life. From the time she went in, she never called any place home but the jungle living with the Waudani. But after we had buried her, then the members of my jungle family came to me and they said, now we say it's time for you to come back and live with us again. And I said, what do you want me to do? And then they chastised me and they said, we can. They said, not do. We're not telling you to come and do. All the foreigners want to come and do and do. They said, but do you remember how ignorant you were when you came out here to live with us? You didn't know how to hunt with a blowgun. You didn't know how to make poison for your darts. You couldn't whittle darts. You couldn't put kapok on the darts. They said, you couldn't make a house, build a house. You couldn't make a canoe. Now, I was 8 years old, so in our culture, that would be understandable. But in their culture, by the time you were 8 to 10, you really needed to know how to do all those things. And they said, we taught you what you didn't know so that you could live out here. And they said, now you've been living with the foreigners for a long time. Now we say you coming and teaching us what they know how to do but will never teach us how to do. You teaching us how to do those things, we ourselves will take care of our own people and teach them to live. And so it was their idea to start iTech, and that's why we call it the Indigenous Peoples Technology. Now, we don't just help the Waudani. Our dental equipment is used, I think, in 37 countries in the world now. IC is going the countries all over, iFix, iMed, it started down there in the jungles. The idea for the Maverick, that was my idea because I'm a pilot and I know that it's usually a lot more expensive to fly than it is to drive. So if you've got roads and you're trying to move people and equipment from one place to another, it's more efficient to do it on the ground or on water than usually it is to fly, although not always. Down in our part of the world, you can actually fly with less fuel than you can go on the serpentine rivers. But it was my idea to combine those various mediums, the air, ground, water, snow and ice into one vehicle. And you know, like most of the things we've tried, we weren't sure that we could do it. The challenge is to make it light enough that it can fly and yet sturdy enough to drive. So it means that we not only use chromoly steel, but we use a lot of aluminum. We use carbon fiber and some more exotic materials, too, which unfortunately are very expensive. But it's been a fun project. We've been working on this particular one for 6 years. Just got it certified a couple of months ago, and I think it'll be on Discovery, at least in Canada, maybe here in the U.S., in another month, month and a half. It's something that people wanted to do forever, right? I mean, anybody who sat in a traffic jam has dreamed about just pulling off into the median or the shoulder and flying away. People that have been stranded someplace because they're stuck in mud or there is no road, they've thought of it too. Anybody who has needed to do search and rescue and hasn't had access to a helicopter has thought about this. You know, boy, if my car could just fly, if I could just get up above all of this and look down and see what's happening. Missionaries have been dreaming about it for a long time.
I would think Forest Service. I mean, imagine being able to have what would be equivalent to a helicopter for search. And but being, what is the cost? A little over $80,000? Is that what you guys are forecasting?
Yeah, our current price, we're going to start selling them at an initial price of $84,000. Now, that'll be the commercial price. And it will cost not much less than that to build the first ones. Now, if we get these into production and we become more efficient at producing them, then it would be profitable at that price. We are committed to providing them to ministries at what our cost is, or what we hope that we can get our cost down to. But that will also mean that we need to keep our production costs low, which you know, I think we can do here pretty well. If we do get help from the Marion County, which I think they would like to give us, if we can get some local machine shops and things to help us out. Now, we do want this to be able to carry itself financially, so we're not looking for people to just give us money so that we can make these and give them away. That's not practical, and it creates dependency too. But if there are local machine shops or people have capabilities of sewing capabilities, fabricating capabilities, or would like to come and help us, and we need to have a dependable labor force, but there are lots of skills: welding, cutting and notching, the tubing, people that can help with assembly. There's a lot of things that people could do to help us if they really are willing to make a commitment to it. And it's also going to take about I would guess, being very, very careful, it will take us about $500,000 to tool and get the jigs and fixtures made and make the first batch of these things. There will be value in the first production units, which would be not much less than it'll take us to do it. But if there are people in the community that, remember, this is a brand new technology. So we don't know everything there is about it, but we didn't just start yesterday, and it has been getting lots of recognition, and we've already been getting orders from as far away as Dubai. Youth with a Mission want to try a unit to see where they could use it in different places. We've had interest from Jungle Aviation and Radio Service, the technical branch of Wycliffe Bible Translators, and from Mission Aviation Fellowship, as well as some of the people that we've actually taught to fly powered parachutes that are using them in other countries, but, you know, they can't drive. All they can do is fly.
It's because even as I'm thinking about it, U.S. Forest Service or anybody, I'm thinking about the mountains in Western North Carolina, and when they lose a hiker,
and Border Patrol, police, surveillance, missions, I used to be in the lime rock mining business here years ago, and we always needed to know what kind of stockpiles and reserves our competitors had, and of course they didn't just invite us to come into their mines like we didn't invite them to come into ours, but all you had to do is go get an airplane and fly over, and in an hour we could see what everybody from Orlando to Jacksonville down to Tampa, you know, what kind of reserves they had. But now, I mean, wouldn't it be great to just fly your car, drive it down the road, and then fly it over your competitors and see what they had.
That's
everybody. I mean, all of us flew our airplanes to see. We probably should have just had a tour day when we'd go. But real estate, disaster relief. I mean, right now we've got some people from the U.S. Military coming to take a look at the Maverick because, you know, down in Haiti, there's a major outpouring of relief aid down in Haiti, but a lot of the materials that are being supplied can't get to the people that need it because people can't, I mean, the roads are closed, and when you get off the roads into the dirt areas, there have been landslides and things from as a result of the earthquake, and so consequently, a lot of people are suffering and are dying just simply because they don't have the logistical support. Now, helicopters could do a lot of that, but helicopters mostly drop people off, and then they have to go back and do something else. Is the, I mean, just a basic helicopter, you're talking, you know, 10 times what the Maverick costs. But the Maverick could take three people and could go out there, and then it could stay there. And when you need to go to another area, whether fly or drive or, you know, whatever, it could get you there. So,
and you can drive out to where there's not restricted airspace of any type. You're basically out in the jungle. Then you fly up in the air where nobody really cares.
Well, but you know what? You could fly with a transponder. You could fly the Maverick right across Atlanta or areas with high concentrations of air traffic. I mean, this sounds wild. We're building airplanes down in the Amazon jungle that we use here. I mean, 200-mile-an-hour airplanes, the one that I fly around the country, built by Ecuadorians down in the jungles. In fact, a couple of the grandsons of the men who killed my dad and his friends are very, very capable airplane builders, and this thing has as good an instrumentation, better than some of the airlines that our listeners are flying on. I can take off from right here at the Dunellen Airport. I can take off, and the autopilot will fly it all the way to Canada nonstop. And that's a plane built down in the Amazon jungle that we've taught people down there to do it. The Maverick built up here will be used down there. Eventually, I'm sure that we'll be manufacturing these in various parts of the world. But this is probably one of the more unique things that has come out of Marion County. So,
what about your training? When somebody buys this, is there do you guys have a system for training them? Because obviously, there's certain things. If anybody has any dexterity or anything like that, and just a rational mind, they could operate this equipment. But you know, there's rules of the road regarding air, so to speak. Is that part of what this purchasing this equipment?
That'll be part of this. But actually, you know, even though the FAA doesn't have a specific rule for the Maverick, they do have a pilot's requirement for powered parachutes, which is how this thing flies. Now, this has integrated controls. Powered parachutes, you have to learn how to use those controls. You steer with your feet. This one you steer with a steering wheel. But even the FAA requirement for a pilot's license only requires 12 hours of instruction, which is pretty easy to get.
Okay, we're going to be back here with more about this Flying Maverick, the car that flies. We're going to be hearing about its performance on the road, which is pretty outstanding. Stay tuned, Frank Talk 104.